Good evening. The time is now 6:15. Intergovernmental comes to order. First up, acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on November 3rd.
Motion move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor? Excellent. Okay. First up, PCR 9325, resolution amending the rules of the Warwick City Council for the 2025-2026 term. Council President Sinapi, Council President, I understand your request is to have this held until December 15th. Is that correct? Okay. Any objection to holding this to the 15th?
No.
None heard. Held. Up second, PCR 9425, a resolution requesting the General Assembly amend to the jurisdiction, powers, procedures, and penalties of the Warwick Municipal Court. Council President Sinapi on behalf of Mayor Bocozzi. Chief, you want to give us an overview on this one?
Sure. Bill Facente, Chief of Staff to Mayor Bocozzi. Currently, right now, the way the Municipal Court Authority works, they're not authorized to hear housing or building code complaints. They have to go to Superior Court. It's a, you know, obviously it's a larger expense, and it's more time out of the office. So we're asking that we have empowered the municipal court to be able to hear building code issues as well. So the Zoning Enabling Act, Historic Zoning Act, Minimum Housing Standards Act, Housing Maintenance and Occupancy Code, Subdivision Land Development Act, Building Code and Related Regulations. Those are all things that we're asking to be included into the authority of the municipal court. And again, Solicitor Ursillo is here to answer any legal questions as well as direct the court specific to building code issues.
Solicitor?
Thank you once again. The original enabling legislation was adopted long ago for the city of Warwick. If you were to review municipal court enabling legislation for just about any city or town, they all include language that we're recommending here, expanding their jurisdiction to municipal to minimum housing violations, a number of zoning violations, building code violations, etc. The main reason that this is being proposed is really a convenience to the citizens of Warwick, so they can just come here to City Hall and they don't have to go to Superior Court, they don't have to go to District Court. In addition to the fact that these are proper items that should be handled locally in any event, they just get lost in Superior Court and they're not heard for years. So this really is the city catching up with legislation. My office has been dealing with this for the past 3 years, and we've been wanting to get this before you. We finally put this all together. But again, I think this is kind of a win-win. I will tell you, the other thing it does is it removes from the municipal court's jurisdiction the ability to imprison individuals. When you think about the fact that these are all misdemeanors, minor misdemeanors, you know, building code violations, that type of thing, they're not life-threatening or anything like that. We probably shouldn't have that in there. Additionally, once this comes out, assuming it does, we won't have to have a public defender present because a public defender by state law is required to be there on any violation that could result in an imprisonment. And so every municipal court that I deal with does not have that language in there, and that's why we're recommending it come out. And of course, the ACLU sent you all a letter today saying, oh, that's a great idea. But that aside, I think there's a more practical reason that we really shouldn't be imprisoning citizens because they're in violation of the building code. There are other ways that we can fix those violations.
Okay, thank you. Actually, Mr. DeCourt, did you want to add anything?
No.
Okay. And I know the honorable municipal judge is not here this evening, but this has been discussed and reviewed with her, and no concerns?
No concerns were brought to my attention.
Okay. Okay, so there we have it. Any questions of members of the committee? No? Any questions of members of the council?
Yes.
Councilman Latta, sir.
Thank you. So I understand what the reasoning is for eliminating a sentence not to exceed 30 days. Is that something that is only in the city ordinance, or is that language in state law?
Councilman Latta, which sentence are you looking at? Just so that
I'm sorry, on line number 18, you had said that the administration was looking to remove a sentence, meaning jail time, not to exceed 30 days in jail and imposed. That's being scratched out.
Correct.
And you had indicated that because it seems to be, and not that I disagree, a harsh punishment for a minor misdemeanor. My question is that language that requires or may impose a 30-day sentence, is that language only in this ordinance, or is that language contained in state law?
Oh, I believe state law gives us the ability to have that language in our municipal court. We're recommending that we don't take advantage of it.
Okay, so state law provides the ability to do so. It does not require necessity.
It does not mandate. That's correct, okay. Council. It doesn't mandate it.
Okay. And the other two other questions. One is, how often do we have repeat offenders to this particular ordinance?
Maybe Mr. Decourt, the question is, especially with these building code violations, how often do we have repeat offenders?
We do have repeat offenders that either don't take building permits or get caught without a building permit. And so we try to rectify it through the office policies and procedures. This just gives us extra teeth that for the guy who draws the line in the sand or the contractor who draws the line in the sand, we can take him to municipal court now and have a hearing.
The reason I ask this is you were actually involved in this, Mr. Decourt, years ago when I sponsored legislation to amend the fines and penalties for those contractors who choose to work without permits. And we have language in there that is stronger than this. In that ordinance, there's also language to deal with repeat offenders. So why wouldn't we want to mirror that language in this?
Maybe I can address that. The language that we're recommending in line 16, it's $500 for each violation. And that is clearly aimed at the repeat offender issue every time we have to go out there.
I understand that. I completely understand what it says. It says a $500 fee for each violation. So you have contractor A comes in and he's got three violations, so he gets hit for $1,500. And in a month from now, you have the same contractor A that comes in with a couple of more violations, because getting stung $1,500 didn't really matter when you roll the dice and not get permits and do the things that you should be doing. So that lies my question. Yeah. We dealt with that in the fines and penalties for contractors not attaining building permits, because it was a real serious problem back then, and it's still a problem today, because obviously some people just don't care. So that's why I asked, do we have the same 10%, we'll say, of violators as we do with the other building permit issues? And should the fine for repeat offenders be more stringent than what it is for someone that legitimately just messed up?
So, Councilman, this would be in addition to, because we don't have, right now municipal court can't hear building code violations beyond your 8-1. So I can have someone who comes and takes a permit, we do inspections, but refuses to make the changes. For what reason, I don't know, but it's happened in the past. So now we can now take it to municipal court based on the violation letters and the lack of conformance. So this is all in addition to, because right now our municipal court can't hear building code violations.
Right. So it's in addition to what we already have.
Yes,
in the ordinance.
We're not taking it away. We can add.
No, I understand. No, I know you're not taking away anything. I understand that. But again, the question is, should those individuals who are repeat violators and show up before the judge two or three times in a year, should the fine be more stringent than the $500 fine for each offense on a first-time offender?
I'm not sure if that's state law on $500. I refer to solicitor on that question.
So the $500 is actually mandated by state law, Counselor. We can't go beyond the $500.
But we can implement penalties. We may not be able to exceed fines, but we can implement penalties, right?
You know, in terms of the municipal court jurisdiction, though, we have to live with this $500 for each violation per day, per offense. I mean,
okay.
Believe me, if we need to use it on someone who's not being cooperative, we will and we have.
Okay. So I'm going to stand down on this. I think I've brought enough attention to it that if this should be an issue with repeat offenders, we can always come back. Okay. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council have questions? Any members of the public? Please just state your name for the record.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. I'm kind of like wondering about this repeat offender thing too. I know it's convenient for the city to go to its own little court, but if I were a repeat offender and I was faced with Superior Court, I think that would be a far bigger deal for me. So perhaps this municipal court could handle initial offenders, but if we have somebody who has offended five times, whatever, maybe they should go to Superior Court. Maybe that should be the original jurisdiction for repeat offenders. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Langseth. Any other members of the public have any comments on PCR 9425? Okay. Seeing none, committee, do we have a recommendation?
Recommendation to move favorable action. Second.
Favorable. And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Council President, would you like us to pause? Okay. So we will suspend. We have one remaining item here that we'll get back to after we get the council meeting started. Thank you all. Intergovernmental goes into recess at 6:29.
So we have a bit of a confluence of a bunch of things, all time sensitive. So as soon as possible, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinappi, Mr. DeLuise, Mr. Foley, Mr. Gephardt,
here.
Mr. Kirby,
here.
Mr. Lattisa, Mr. Muno,
here.
Mr. Napa, Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Nine present.
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
First up is general communications, and on that we have recognition of Warwick Police Department officers for distinguished service. So I'll kick it to Councilman Muto now.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the City Council, Chief Lima, citizens of Warwick, and most importantly, the families of our dedicated officers. If I could have my the dedicated officers and their family members come up and see Joanne, I'd like to read a little statement. We're gathered here today to honor an act of extraordinary courage, an act that reflects the highest standards of the Warwick Police Department. On October 18th, 2025, three Warwick officers, Maloney, Minocchio, and Neely, entered the dock waters without hesitation to rescue a man trapped in the submerged vehicle. Unable to see inside, they searched by touch, located the 71-year-old man, and brought him safely to shore, where the Warwick Fire Department immediately began life-saving efforts. This was not a simple act of duty. This was valor. This was a profound, selfless commitment to the preservation of life, a commitment these officers honor every single day when they put on the uniform. On behalf of the Warwick City Council and every resident of our city, we extend our deepest gratitude. This act affirms Warwick's dedication to public safety and the trust we place in those who protect us. Therefore, with immense pride, the Warwick City Council presents the commendation for distinguished service to Officers Maloney, Minocchio, and Neely. And I apologize if I really messed up that name. I practiced and everything. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your dedication. And thank you for reminding us what it truly means to protect and serve. Thank you very much.
And now bear with us. We're going to go back to committee to finish intergovernmental.
It's like musical chairs.
Squeeze between the jaws. Nice. Nice
job. Okay, good evening. The time is now 6:35. Intergovernmental returns. Our final item tonight is PCR 131-25, a resolution ordering questions to the electors of the City of Warwick regarding the issuance of indebtedness, making amendments to the city charter at a special election on February 3rd, 2026. This is President Snappy on behalf of Mayor Precosi.
Hi, everybody. So you may recall, we passed resolutions on all of the items within this proposed ballot question already. So this is in regards to just having the date for the ballot question to appear. And obviously, as you can tell based on looking at it, what the ballot itself is going to look like in this regard. You also likely have seen the responses come in from the city and the school department regarding various questions that people had. So if there are any further questions, please, by all means, ask away. But keep in mind, the topic of the conversation is not the content of the questions. We already figured that out prior. This is just the date when we're going to do this special election, or if we're going to do it, I suppose, is a fair point as well.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any members of the committee have questions? Councilman Napa.
Just one question on timing. I'm not sure if this is appropriate for school committee or Mr. Gothberg. If we could just clarify what the, if this is a time is of the essence type approval and why we need to go out for a special election rather than waiting for the general election, if delaying the vote to the general would have any impact or effect on the construction and funding of the school projects.
Yes, Councilman. First and foremost, on behalf of the school committee and the school administration, thank you for having us here this evening to be able to answer questions. I do want to send apologies on behalf of Superintendent McCaffrey when noticed of this item being on your agenda and questions possibly being posed. Unfortunately, he already had prior commitments, but he does send his best. Mr. Gothberg, our director of capital and construction projects, and we also are joined here tonight by one of my colleagues, chair of the building committee, Mr. David Testa. So I'm going to turn it over to these gentlemen to be able to answer any questions you have, such as that one. But before stepping away, I did want to also just publicly express my thanks to members of this council who did reach out to the Galligan family the last week on the passing of our Marine veteran, Thomas J. Galligan, who joined his comrades at Veterans Cemetery last week. So I really want to thank you on behalf of the family, also to members of the administration who showed up. So thank you.
Good evening. Steve Gothberg, Director of Capital Projects and Construction for Warwick Public Schools. I believe your question, Councilman Napa, was why do we need to do this now in February? Is that correct?
Yes, if it's pressing to complete it now, prior to the general.
When we did our guaranteed maximum price, the alternates, which includes the fields, they're only going to hold their pricing till June. And we got that in there specifically because we heard that this would go in February. If it goes past June, then we're going to look at an increase.
So,
I always do. Quick question for you: When were you aware of the guaranteed pricing deadline?
When did the guaranteed maximum price came in? Pilgrim came in June. We just got the guaranteed maximum price on Tollgate last week.
Okay. All right. And this is probably the administration. So this was passed by the General Assembly also in June of 2025. So my question is, why are we waiting to the second meeting of November for a February 3rd initiative or a special election? And why we seem to be in a reactive mode here versus where we thought we were in more of a proactive mode?
So, Councilman, we're not in a reactive mode. The Board of Elections is the one that dictates what date we have elections on. And the mayor and the Board of Canvassers looked at the dates and they determined that an election in February would be, you know, better once we had more of information and more of a guaranteed maximum. We've been going and meeting with the school department, left field, the finance department on their cash flows, their needs, and it's become apparent that we need to have this $50 million bond referendum. So it's not reactionary. We've always known we were going to go. So we've been communicating with the schools that it was going to be in February.
Well, it seems reactionary to the council because we know we passed it. We did our due diligence. We know we passed it. The General Assembly, We had the minimum, the pricing last June.
For Pilgrim, not for Tollgate. We just got Tollgate last week.
But we did know, at least, you know, common sense-wise, we were going to need more money. Am I correct?
I'm not going to argue common sense, but we got guaranteed maximum price last week for Tollgate. We didn't have both of them, and we've determined that we do, in fact, need it. Because we were still hovering around the $350 million mark. Now we're above that.
Okay. We'll have to agree to disagree on that, because I've seen many, many numbers over the last several months, actually going way back to last spring. Here's my concern. November 3rd, that time frame is the highest snowfall of our region for the last 10 years.
November 3rd? February 3rd.
For February 3rd.
Okay.
That's the highest snowfall. That also possibly eliminates, you know, a lot of citizens because of safety issues. Again, my concern is really with an election that everyone can participate in without artificial or natural barriers such as weather, daylight, coldness, you know, snow. What happens if we have a snowstorm that day? So my thought, you know, my reasoning is a special election is going to cost anywhere between $35,000 and $50,000, some based on what was said, and a lot of the information and details of that election, the logistics, still haven't been presented to us or able to answer by the director. Am I correct?
So, correct. We're still finalizing, because the Board of Elections makes the final determination.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is get the question approved and the ability to get it on the ballot February 3rd, because the deadline to get it to the Board of Elections is December 15th.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, early voting starts on January, this is early voting start. January 14th and ends on February 2nd.
Okay.
So the citizenry have up from January 14th up until February 2nd to early vote. There's mail ballots, there's absentee ballots, there's military ballots. Any balloting that is in a normal election will be available to the citizens and residents of registered voters Warwick.
Okay. Yes, logistically that does work, but you know, we're still dealing with, even with early voting and things of that nature, where we're creating an event, an election, that is creating a $50 million indebtedness to the citizens of Warwick. Whether yes or no, we're not giving a fair enough shot, in my opinion, to the electorate, because we are up against certain deadlines. So I will not be supporting this for February 3rd. I will support it for another date in the future. I do believe in the election, but February 3rd, to me, just sounds, frankly, a little fishy, since we've had this going on since last June, and being jammed the week before Thanksgiving into the holiday season and right after the holiday season. Yes, not next week, but the week after Thanksgiving.
No, I understand that, but the election's not till February 3rd.
So yeah, I know.
So this is getting it on the ballot.
Yeah, I know. But
so that has nothing to do with Thanksgiving or Christmas? Or
well, it does. It has to do with the electorate's mindset, the campaigns and things of that nature. So,
okay.
You know, going up to that election, I believe you put certain constituencies at a disadvantage. So I will, I made my point. I am one person, as you may have known. I will be the first one to say, I told you so, for one reason or another, when February 3rd happens.
Okay. Sure. Councilman Napa.
Chief, just to kind of caveat of what Councilman Mito just asked, were there any alternate dates suggested or contemplated, or was it kind of like, we know what the target is, February 3rd, is it? Was there anything, any discussion as far as later, maybe early spring dates?
No, we felt that February 3rd was the latest we could go. Because of cash flow at getting, you know, pricing, and we have to sell these bonds. So we have to have time to sell the bonds so we can get the money to pay for the schools. The last thing we want is a three-quarter built school. not have the bond.
So are we, I guess I'm a little bit confused. My understanding was that this additional monies that we're going to be putting to ballot is for the ad alts at the end of the contract. Does the money approval thumbs up have to be available to bond out, or are we actually cutting a check come June?
So the money, the $50 million is for to cover the construction of the schools, so of the two high schools, and additional athletic field, recreational facilities citywide. It's not specific to just the ad alternate. If there's a contingency overrun at either Tollgate or Pilgrim, that's what this money is going to be used for, if it goes above and beyond the contingency that's already built in. That's what the legislation approved.
Right, I understand that, but I get, like, maybe my question wasn't clear. What you had just said made it seem as though we need to cut a check. Bonds need to be sold prior to June. Did I misunderstand what you meant?
No, so Steve Gothberg might be able to answer this question, but there's a guaranteed maximum price that's being held until June. So if we don't have the money in June to be able to, you know, we need an alternative if something happens in February, you know. So
we just need the approval to send the bond out for purchase. We don't actually need all the bonds sold by June.
We need the approval to put this on the ballot,
right,
for February 3rd, so the voters can approve it or not. And then we have to make a decision, if it fails, where we go from there. So if we push our time, keep pushing our time further down the road, our hands are, you know, more and more tied with adhering to the guaranteed maximum price, as well as making sure that we deliver a product to the citizens and to the students under the right standards.
Okay. I think I'm probably just not being clear on my question, but I also don't think that it's actually pertinent to this specific legislation, so I'll touch base with you offline later. That's all I got.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Mito.
Thank you.
So I'm just trying to get this straight. So if we go February 3rd and it gets approved, how long will it take to say, okay, great, we can move forward and go after the maximum price? 1 month, 2 months? What's the process afterwards?
Bear in mind that we are also part of that process. We have to do an appropriations matter as well.
Because there's a process. The process, it's going to have to come back to City Council and then go to the mayor. You guys are going to have to, the council's going to have to schedule meetings. But the only reason that it's important for February 3rd from the GMP perspective is that the alternates, especially for the fields, for the high schools, are only held to June. Okay. After that, then there's a potential that things could go up, because they're not going to hold that guaranteed price, not other guarantees within the contract, just the alternates. So if it doesn't get approved by June, that's where we run into trouble. So if voters approve, then it comes back to City Council, they approve, the mayoral approval is done, then we're good to go. We don't have to worry about if that's all done by June.
So how long is that process, Mr. President? Knowing that we are in November, knowing we have to make these steps, we could probably get ahead of it, you know, the day after it gets approved. How long would that take?
In working with bond counsel, and knowing that there's a date certain of this election, we currently have a meeting scheduled for February 9th. So if the voters authorize it, the council, without even having to call a special election, could on the February 9th meeting take up an appropriations resolution. If that were approved, that would still require to go through the actual bond issuance, which appears to take, you know, at least a few weeks at best, and probably 2 months.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is we have an election, we have a meeting at the bond council, a couple of weeks after that, we have the ability to issue the bond. So 6 weeks, fair enough?
So the solicitor said the best
at best a few weeks, could go as far as 2 months on the issue of the bond council and the bond issuance.
It's hard to project. I'm not bond counsel. It takes months, weeks to months. It's hard to say what the market is.
2 months is fair? Okay. So if we do 2 months, February, we have February, March, plenty of time. If we go to March, we have March, April. If we have an election in May, it's May and June. We still meet that June deadline. Hold on, let me just finish my rant. Second rant is the guarantee. Who sets that guarantee? Is it the people that we just contracted $350 million with, or is it a different group? And has anybody talked with them to give us another month?
Councilman, it's Dimio, our construction manager. We went with the build model of construction manager at risk, so they're being held to those figures. The school committee, just to give you some context, within that GMP that Mr. Gothberg and Chief Vicente keep referencing, for the adults, all of them, they have dates listed on them as to when that figure is good for. So if, let's say, we pushed the special election out, no matter what the results are, good or bad, favorable or not favorable, essentially with the construction manager, because they signed a CM at risk model, they want to know that we're good for the money on the number that they put forward. So if, let's say, we continued down your thought process of pushing it out to April, May, or May, June, doing that special election in that time, what we need to do, or rather Mr. Gothberg and his office with our CM and our OPM, is we need to evaluate, let's say, if the election is unfavorable for the additional funds, which we know we're not going to need the entire $50 million. It's been dubbed the school bond, but it really should have been dubbed City of Warwick Recreation Bond. But what we need to know is, if we are not favorable in receiving additional funds, what we then do with the project? What realistically is the next step for the project? So
shouldn't we have that plan in place already?
Well, no, the first step was preparing the GMP, which there was about a 3 to 4 month difference between Pilgrim and Tollgate. We needed to know what the guaranteed maximum price. If we went with what would have been ideal versus what is the current situation, what would have been ideal is if we followed what the state of Massachusetts does, which is you go and you cost everything out, and then you bring that cost to the taxpayers, and they say this is the number that we can build these schools.
Chairman, I get what, yeah. But we have something that has dragged out. We've changed dates. We've been flexible. We're talking about 1 month here to give the voters of Warwick, the taxpayers of Warwick, a reasonable environment to go out and commit to either $50 million of extended benefits or taxpayer money, or no. What I see here is just political gamesmanship of jamming it to February 3rd for a low voter turnout, which may or may not go your way, but I still think for something so impactful, let's be fair to our residents of Warwick. We're under enough stress as it is. Give them a fair shot. And if it takes us an extra month, I bet you if you call Dimio, 1 month is not going to make a difference. If it does, I would love to talk to them. They've changed dates before. So this urgency, is not urgent. It's important to us. That's why we took it up last year. That's why we brought it to the General Assembly. But now it just seems like we're jamming something down our constituents and our taxpayers' throats. So I will yield my time.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, any other members of the committee? Questions, thoughts? Members of the council, Councilman Ricks. I'm sorry, I'm gonna go to Councilman Lattiser first because he's had his light on. So, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, I just want to point out that we're here tonight about $50 million or I should say an additional $50 million to fix a huge problem and errors that occurred over 2 years ago.
As a reminder, this is or that's not what's before us, please.
This is part of the $50 million, Mr. President.
What's before us is the date and whether or not to hold a special election. It's already been established. We already voted on whether or not we were going to do the $50 million. It's not. This is not the opportunity to rehash that.
Are we voting on the content of PCR 13125?
We actually already did that prior. Now you're just voting on as far as how it's presented, the date, and whether or not you pass it at all.
So are we voting on the language in PCR 13125?
I'll see to the solicitor, but my statements stand regardless.
The General Assembly passed laws this past session that authorizes the asking of these questions, the school construction, as well as the charter change questions, at the 2026 general election or a special election that is scheduled any earlier. So the question on the resolution here is whether or not to call the special election.
Okay, so I'll rephrase. The date is bad. The reason for doing it is bad. The amount is bad. This whole thing is bad. So now what we're going to do is, at the last minute, we're going to jam through this item because what do we do with the next step? What do we do if we get partway through these schools and we got to stop? I asked those questions 2 years ago, and nobody cared. 2 years ago, 2 months after the election. Now we're going to jam this thing through, as Councilman Muto talked about, in the beginning of February. Special elections, you all know, have a very bad turnout when there's good weather, let alone when there's winter weather. Seniors, handicapped, disabled folks, they're going to have a heck of a hard time getting to an election. Oh, well, we can do mail-ins and we can do write-ins and we can do all this sort of stuff. Sure, if they know about it. So here we are now. We're going to have this special election on February 3rd that probably very few people are going to be aware of, because from the information I've seen, I don't like the way this thing is going to be rolled out. I don't like the way the information is going to be disseminated. This is something that should have been done 2 months after the general election. This is it necessary? Yes. I've been a proponent of going out for a special election or a revote from day one on those two schools, 2 months after the election. Oh, guess what? We can't build them for $350 million. You should have never broke ground. You shouldn't have put a shovel in the ground till you had the proper funding to do these two schools. And you didn't do that. What you did was, let's move forward with what we got and hurry up before anybody realizes what's going on. Well, now everybody realizes what's going on, and we got to go to the taxpayers for another $50 million. And let's do it in the dead of winter when it's a special election and it's going to be very difficult for people to come out. Short of changing the date of this election, I am going to have to stick with my premise from 2 months after the general election to get the members of the public to vote on this item. And I also want to ask if the administration, do we have a fiscal note on what this $50 million is going to cost the taxpayers? Because I don't see it in my binder.
Councilman, the fiscal note was presented to the city council at the time when you, the city council voted on the authorization to the
General
Assembly.
Correct, I understand.
The fiscal note hasn't changed. The numbers that are inside
the question
are the same.
But it's not in this binder. So to my point, how much information is going to be disseminated to the voters that are going to go out in the middle of winter? This is not good. We should have never, ever gotten to this point where we got to go back for $50 million because of total screw-ups in the very beginning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks, just give me a minute. I'm going to restart my timer unless you plan to be brief. I'll restart my timer.
Thank you for resetting the clock. I'll try not to use all 10 minutes.
Thank you.
So I do agree to an extent with my colleagues, Councilman Muto, Councilman Lattiser. It is far from ideal to have a special election on February 3rd of all days. This is not exactly conducive for that kind of political activity of people going door to door to campaign for, campaign against, otherwise talk with their neighbors about their opinions on this sort of thing. I mean, really, this is why we don't hold all sorts of elections, generally speaking, at the tail end of winter. So if it is at all possible to move the election to a date that's a little bit more conducive, a date that there's a little bit less risk of a lot of snow and ice on the ground or a major blizzard or the like, that might not be possible, of course. And I do remember some years ago, we even had a blizzard on April 1st. So I'm not saying that any date is necessarily free from a natural disaster here, but we all know what the roads are like beginning of February. This is not ideal. The other item that I'll address here briefly is the proposed changes to the city charter. I don't think that any of these are so pressing that they can't wait until the 2026 midterm election. But also, and I suppose I'm going to have to just review some of the video because some of the language here is not lining up to my recollection of exactly what we did discuss and authorize to be passed. And I think that some of it, especially as to question three, is a bit misleading. If I were to ask 100 people, what does minority representation appointments mean? I'm guessing very few of them would associate minority representation appointments with political party appointments. So that's another concern that I have. And I think that if we have a little additional time here, that's also something that can be cleared up. But really, those are two separate issues. I think that there's no real reason not to hold charter changes to the regular election where people can participate more freely. And we know we're going to get much higher turnout. And I do think that it is very much warranted to have a special election on that one question alone of authorizing that additional $50 million or not, so that the city, school committee, school department, building committee, we can get all of those, all of the stakeholders, all of the decision makers to be able to move forward and make the best decision possible for the future of Warwick schools. So, if it is not possible whatsoever to have the election at, for that one particular question, at any time other than February 3rd, I will support that. However, we have to ask, is it possible? Can we get this done so that we can try to maximize voter input? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Since you're at the podium, Chief, could you perhaps just describe to us were other dates considered? I'm sure you had this conversation internally to discuss what voter turnout could be like. Can you just talk a little bit about what went into the decision-making process?
So, yes to that, and then I can address some of the other Councilman Ricks's points because some of it has nothing to do with the administration. Not that you had any way to know that, so no worries.
So, so we tried to decide which date it doesn't interfere with, you know, a major holiday, and coincides with somewhat of the urgency of getting this approved, so we have time to plan B, to come up with a plan B in case this doesn't. Backing into the date, the Board of Elections gave us the date. It has to be, I believe, is on the first Tuesday of the month. And they backed into all the dates. The Board of Elections gave us the date, February 3rd. So that's how we came up with that date. That's not, it's after the holidays. It's before we need, you know, to really make a decision. We have some cash flow projections that we need to make decisions on. You know, so we want to make sure we get this to the voters and approved, or whatever they decide. Hopefully it's a thumbs up. If it's a thumbs down, we need time to plan for plan B. We don't have all the time in the world. We don't have another month. We don't have an extra 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. We need to get this approved on the docket, on the ballot, so the school department building committee can plan. We can plan plan B if there is a rejection of the question.
Okay, great. I'm going to go to the public first.
A few things. One, Councilman Ricks brought up the other questions on this. So that wasn't the administration's ask. That was my ask, that they be on there as well. And specifically, so questions 2 through 4 that appear on the potential ballot. That was because those items weren't monumental changes. As far, they're mostly housekeeping, as we're all pretty familiar with them. They come up almost every meeting, something related to one of them. Although the notice one for special meetings obviously comes up whenever there's a special meeting. It's just a pointless expenditure that we don't need to be making. So I asked for them to be put on because my thought process was, if we're going to do a special election anyway, might as well have these on there and get them done with, because we'll no doubt have some of these topics arise between now and the general. And frankly, I can't help but think that at least for number 4, it's possible that people might come out for that topic. So the more people we can pull out, the better, to come get them to come vote. And just as a reminder, this is not the expectation here, and by all accounts, what will actually happen if approved by the voters is not that the school department gets $50 million. They just get what's actually necessary. And by all accounts, what's necessary as of now is about half, if that. So the rest, as a reminder, is going to the city for our stuff. So just keep that in mind, because that was an important part of the process when we discussed it months ago. And just regarding some of the points that have been made, I'm very uncomfortable with the prospect of engaging in a willful breach of contract on the expectation that the other party to the contract simply forgives said willful breach. That is an unwise way to proceed. I understand the sentiment as far as trying to get them to agree to it, but the alternative of, well, if they don't, we'll just do it anyway, is not a good idea for so many reasons from a legal perspective. And then also, I'm similarly uncomfortable with the idea with supplanting the expertise of the Board of Canvassers / Board of Elections when it comes to the timing of an election. Because yes, we're all familiar with elections from the perspective of either we're on the ballot or we go vote or both. Yes, we all understand the general concept, but it's obviously not our careers or specialty or something we're on a board because we're so adamant about it and passionate about it. I get it where, yes, some people might prefer a different month. I don't blame you. That's perfectly fair. But I don't think my opinion on it is somehow more accurate or better than those who are in this every year for every election having to figure this out. So it's my 2 cents.
Thank you, Mr. President. At this point, if any members of the public have questions or comments, I'll give just the same guidance that's been given to all the council members. Keep it to the topic of the scheduling of the special election. And please state your name for the record.
Okay, Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. And I was naive enough to put this on the Taxpayer Spin website just so that people would know. And I was astounded. Over 500 people selected no. Over 500 people selected no to this February 3rd date. And there are over 50 comments, all negative. If it is to be on February 3rd, and there is a light snowstorm or a rainstorm or something like that, I can assure you that those 500 people, or many of them, will show up. And then the question is, what about the other people? Are they really motivated? Do we have a lot of motivated people in the city of Warwick who actually vote, who will come out during a light snowstorm? I don't think so. Personally, I think we need new schools. I've spoke about this before. I've said we need to be more aggressive about marketing Warwick. But February 3rd is just simply not the date to hold an election like this. It's just too risky. And my council person, Muto, brought that up. And my friends and my other friends also feel that way. I would think it would be best for the city council to say no to the mayor on this one. It's just far too risky. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Langseth. Mr. Rainey?
Sean Rainey, Ward 1. It's really disingenuous of you guys to put this on the school committee. As all your remarks have been saying, the school committee wants it done for February 3rd. The school committee wants it. The school committee wants it. The school committee wants it. Remember, the bond is not a school bond. It's a recreation bond. Some funds will go to the schools to help finish the schools. The rest are gonna go towards recreational facilities that as a city we have let go to crap. They're terrible. So don't forget what you're really voting on. A portion, a small portion, is going towards the schools, to finish the schools. And when Council President is speaking, we got committee members up here laughing about what he's saying. Wake up.
Thank you, Mr. Rainey.
Good evening, Dave Tester, 1107 Narragansett Parkway, Ward 1. I wanna thank the Council President. This bond has been misinterpreted, I think, and the council president brought it out, that the $50 million is going to the schools and that these schools are going to cost $400 million. That was the taxpayer spin post. It was spun to make people believe that the school department needs $50 million more. We do not. So I just want to make that clear. This is, as Mr. Rainey said, it's a bond for municipal facilities, and it would be for whatever overruns are in the project. So if the schools end up taking a fraction literally of that, and I believe the legislation is up to $50 million, so when you're not indebting the city $50 million, is it 50 or is it up to?
Well, let me pause you. Let's stick to the scheduling and the special election.
Yeah, as far as the dating, that's for you guys, but there are concerns, I think, on the school side about what happens, and I think the chief of staff mentioned it. About how you plan if the bond fails. But my point was just the $50 million is not entirely for the schools. That's all. I think a fraction of it would be. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Testa. State your name.
Sean Galligan, Ward 2, taxpayer. I think an argument can be made if this council punts on a February election that, let's say, we go out to May or June and it's beautiful weather, that we're Rhode Islanders. Where do we like to go when the weather gets warm, right? We go to South County, we go to the beaches, we get out on the water, we go out on our boats. So the argument could be made either which way. If you host it in February or if you host it in June, it could impact the voter turnout anyways. Secondly, in terms of when you hold the election, we've seen in the past, even mid-year elections, not a substantial turnout anyways, right? So 2022, back when the school committee District 1 member got elected, there wasn't a huge turnout that year. There wasn't a massive turnout. There was a big turnout in 24 because it was a presidential year. There wasn't a huge turnout. And some argued, man, this bond shouldn't have gone through because not everybody showed out and voted in favor of the bond or against the bond. Well, the bond passed. The bond passed. So, you know, it doesn't matter when you schedule the election. What matters is if we schedule the election when it makes sense fiscally for the project. So we've heard tonight from the people who have testified that there are costs that have been committed to by the contractor. So as people who are general contractors know, if you don't guarantee them that you're going to move forward with it, those costs, they're not going to stand behind anymore, which is what the model is that we're using to construct the school. So we've seen the council historically punt on this with the release of the prior bond. The initial bond was voted on by voters in November of 22. It wasn't until September of 23 that the bond was released. The council at that time cost voters conservatively $1.1 to $1.3 million per month. So to draw this back to why we need to vote on this soon, and not saying the council's wrong, but they should heed the advice of an industry expert in Mr. Gothberg. I would disagree with the notion that this is being shoved down the taxpayers' throats. The taxpayers can come out and vote no. The taxpayers could come out and vote yes. So nothing's being shoved down their throat. Also, I could be wrong. I'm not a lawyer like our council solicitor, Mr. Walsh, but can I ask a question to the administration, Mr. Chair? Chief Vicente, if there were to be a special election held, would the taxpayers like myself be blindsided, or would we be noticed of a special election?
So through the chair, the process of notification of a special election would be the same as any election in the city. Notifications in the newspaper, press releases, the social media, I'm sure the school department would do some get out the vote. I'm sure the people that are against it would get out the vote as well. So there will be plenty of coverage of the requirement. As I mentioned in one of the questions, communication will follow the same format as every election. Information will be available on the Board of Elections, Secretary of State, and the city's website. Ads will include voter registration deadlines, poll workers needed, final canvasses, election and warrant poll combinations 7 and 14 days prior, publication of questions and explanation from the city's treasury to run as soon as the early voting starts. So there'd be plenty of notice, just like it is any other election that we've ever held, going back to the dawn of time.
So. Thank you, Chief. So as a taxpayer, and Chair, thank you for taking that question. As a taxpayer, I feel confident and comfortable in my council, my city's administration, this city, in noticing me as a taxpayer to be able to say, hey, we're gonna have a special election. Here's the information that's being provided to you. Yes, it's in the winter. Dress warm. Otherwise, here are all the other mediums that you could take for 3 weeks, I believe the chief stated, to be able to come out and vote on that as a taxpayer. Also to be noted, we heard tonight that it's not completely $50 million. It's a small portion. So those are just the points I wanted to be made, because I felt like in hearing the testimony of the council that it was a bit fear-mongering and disingenuous. I'll never forget November 8th, 2022, I saw an elderly woman over in Ward 3. God bless her. She got out of her car. She told me she was 92 and she was walking into Lippitt Elementary School to go vote. That day was very cold and that woman was getting out. She was exercising her voice. This is a democracy. This is what this country is about. It's voting, giving people the choice. Tonight before you is whether or not you schedule an election for February or not. But I would just caution you, if you punt, we've seen what this council has done in the past when they punted, and the million-dollar ramification that could be had on this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Just state your name for the record.
Sean Williams, Ward 4. I don't want to reiterate everything that's already been said to you. This is about fiscal responsibility. And there's a real nervousness of what could happen if it is punted. Again, the chairman just mentioned the millions of dollars that was lost to the project by punting it. If you know, we have the mayor, we have chief, we have our department all in agreement that this is a fiscally responsible situation to get this done due to the adults for June for the schools. I also agree, I also want to, and again, reiterate the fact that this is not just about the schools. It is about the crappy fields that now reside in the city, and that what that money can do to help make war great again, as far as from a sports and from a facilities standpoint. But again, I'm just going to stay on that fiscal responsibility. We keep on punting. We're just not going to do it. And Ms. Mito, and this is not against you personally, but and I know Mr. Rady mentioned the laughing. It's not funny. This isn't funny. This is kids. This is schools. This is about the future of our city, not just the schools. The future of the fields as well. This is a recreational bond, right? It's encompassing all of it. So, you know, I believe in the ability of our taxpayers. That if they're against it, they'll come out and vote. If they're for it, they'll come out and vote. The weather is, I'm not John Giorgi, if I know John, I might be dating myself because I'm mentioning a name that probably nobody knows, but I don't know what's gonna be on February 3rd. You may not know, but maybe you looked at the Farmer's Almanac and that's why you're saying what you're saying. But you know, it's cold now, it's freezing. It's freezing coming in this building. So I feel like democracy needs to occur. I feel like we've had experts speak of why we're doing it. We're not doing it because we're trying to roll something, pull something over somebody's eyes. We're doing it because we need to do it. I think we should fiscally do it because it's the right thing to do for our city. It's the right thing to do for our kids. It's the right thing to do for every kid, every child, every parent, every person who walks on a walkway at North Country Club or wherever they're walking. You know, we should be making all of everything in the city better. This is about a date for a special election. I think that we need to realize that if we punt it, if you don't do the right thing and it keeps on getting punted and they can't keep we talk about can't get kicked down the road, you love that one. I feel that that's going to happen. And so I hope today you make the right decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wiggins. Any other members of the public have anything to comment? Okay, seeing none, we've had a robust discussion tonight about this date. I'd like to recommend that we move this to the floor where we can have more discussion and not hold up the public hearings that we have this evening. Do I have a motion? That'd be your call.
Motion to move favorable action.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. 3-4-3-0-3-1. There being no. Okay. There being no further business before the Intergovernmental Committee, we will adjourn at 7:25 p.m. Thank you all.
Would the Public Properties Committee please convene?